Thanks for the kind words. I think all I have to hit is one cry because I cried in leaders meetings already, so never saw that coming. But anyway, we're glad to be back. Jenny and I had a great trip, a crazy trip. You know, just I don't know if we went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and Stockholm, and then went to see. I did a book report on the fjords in Norway when I was in high school, and I just totally never got it out of my mind, and I needed to go see it. So since I was over there, we did that. So we had a great time, and we learned some things, and got to see the Rembrandt painting of the prodigal son and a million other things. And so you'll be hearing about it in the coming weeks, but I'm not going to talk about it too much tonight. But we had a blast, and but it was good to be back. I think if you want to make sure you're ready to come home, you just overpack when you go to Europe. And so living out of a suitcase, it's about as much as you can take for 10 to 14 days. So anyway, so we're going to talk about boundaries and consequences tonight. I went over that. I think that Jenny, my wife, used to give this talk. It's a great foundation, and I haven't changed it a whole lot. And I started looking at what I wanted to talk about, and I just didn't have any other place to go. So I just hit the highlights, and so all of this is going to be in your handout. And I'm just hitting the highlights through the handout tonight and try to emphasize a few points a little more powerfully, hopefully. But it's just a cornerstone teaching for us. And so I would just say that some of you may have heard this story. The leaders could tell the story, but I think there's no story that I could tell any better that was at the front of your handout this week about, I sit here and talk about how Jenny and I are leading a ministry for prodigals, but I was an enabler and still struggle with that. I still kind of creep in and try to want to enable when my son and I interact at times. And so the classic story was one that we told Hunter he would take. We told our son that we would take his car away if he drank, So he had his truck one night, and he was out driving around, and we got a phone call, and he had a flat tire. So I went out and checked it out, and to make a long story short, I could smell alcohol on his breath and when we were under the car and working on the tire. And so we changed that, and my whole mind started spinning about, you know, what was I going to say? What was I going to do? What are the ramifications of this? Jenny's going to have to take him to school. I may have to take him to school. That's not going to work. What are the ramifications of me following up with my situation? And it just got complicated really quickly. So we were talking and doing some other things he didn't know I knew. And, you know, just that picture that I think we all have gone through, as I see some of your heads nodding about what does that look like and how's that going to work? And I'm just sitting here processing it. And it's like I was outside above. Prodigals will do that. They'll make you get outside your body in the moment and be thinking about what's happening. How does that work? I mean, everybody, that's a positive response. So I was in that moment. I was in one of our prodigal moments. And so I got in the car, and so I got back in the truck, and I said, before you leave, and I was going to drive back in my car, let's get in the truck for a second. I got in the truck, and I said, hey, look, I know you've been drinking, and I know I said we'd take away the car, and so... Here's what we're going to do. We're going to not tell mom. If you do that again, then I'm going to take away the car. And it might have been more dramatic than that. And I think I probably justified it more than that. But essentially, he heard their bag of wind. It's not going to, you know, he's I've got him. And so boundaries and consequences are really important, and I just wanted to say that so that all the enablers in the room would like me more. So anyway, it's good to be back, and let's talk about boundaries and consequences, and we'll try to go through this rapidly, so you not overly rapidly, but enough to where you can get through your group in a timely manner. But let's hit some of the high points here. I think boundaries and consequences teach responsibility to our kids when they're a certain age, but it also boundaries and consequences will optimize relationships in a way for you to find peace. And most people walking through that door really want to find peace, and their relationships are somewhat shattered when they come in here, at least a few of them. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about defining what a boundary is quickly, because I think most of you know that. What are the purpose of boundaries truly? Because I think we get confused. And more importantly, who are these boundaries really for? And how do we set them? What are the benefits of setting them? And how do we enforce them? And why do they fail? And then at the end of the day, how do we measure success? So we're going to try to do that in the next 20 minutes. So boundaries are just borders or limits in a physical world, and they could be any kind of thing. I always like to say, you know, what would it be like, as I thought early on about this process years ago, it became really clear to me, any game we play, I mean, what would it be like having a football game with no boundaries, or a baseball game with no foul poles, or whatever. I mean, how do you, it's chaos. And so that's like playing life without boundaries is the same kind of chaos on a spiritual and personal world. It's just important. It's just a little less defined. And so boundaries on a personal level define me. What is me? You know, what is me and what is not me? And I think as I'm going through these talks, I love to go through these because I actually learn as I'm, some of you that know me well know that I'm probably closer to God in the 30 or 40 minutes I'm up here every week than any time else, because he teaches me things. And I'm thinking that right now is that our boundaries define us. And I would say it's so important, because I think what's wrong with this world is that every person's main issue is, if they get their identity right, they got it. If they know they're loved by the King, they got it. And every, you know, our kids cut ourselves, and they do crystal meth, and they struggle with same sex because they just can't figure out who they are. And so as I read this, I've never read it that way, but I think defining what's me, what's not me, it's important. It's important for our kids to have boundaries and to define that, to define who they are. So, and the more we define ourselves and know who we are, and we're confident in who we are in our identity, we can model that to our kids as well. So they define responsibility. They define what I'm responsible for and what other people are responsible for. And those are boundaries, all kinds of boundaries there. So, so is a boundary for us or for others? Well, it changes over time. Clearly, when we're infants and children's, and we've got our kids, I've got this weekend, you know, pray for us. Jenny and I have got all, you know, we've got a 3-year-old and an 11-month-old this weekend. And what is it? Oh, two-year-old and 11-month-old. So pray hard. Okay, we've got two grandkids, and they're both under 2.5. So it's pray for us. But the point is that we're responsible for them. You know, it's our boundaries for them not going in the streets going to benefit them primarily, right, this weekend. And for a while, it's going to benefit them. And it really, the boundaries, as Jenny used to have this analogy when she gave this talk, which was great, is that there's a study where the kids had a playground, and they all stayed close to the exit with a big field in force until they put a fence up. And then they put the fence up around the field connected to the school, and the kids went out all the way to the fence and played over the whole yard because they felt safe. They had a boundary. So it helps the kids as well. It's benefits for them as well. It keeps them safe. And all of that happens up until they become adults. And then that's somewhere in the ages of probably 18 to 22, you know, post-college or whatever. With millennials, it's probably 35, something like that. So sorry, I just couldn't help it. You got to pound the millennials every chance you get. Sorry, and for millennials in the room, I apologize. It's just a joke. So anyway, but at some point, they do change, right? And it's kind of like the analogy of if a kid is on a tricycle going out in the street, going down a slanted driveway out in the street, you grab them when they're 4, you grab them when they're 6, you grab them when they're 8. At 13, it becomes a problematic. But at some point, you know, they've got to learn that there could be pain in the end of the street, and you pray that's not a car hitting them and that their life is over. But at some point, it's a microcosm of how we transition. But ultimately, I think one of the biggest paradigms that all of us get into when we walk through these doors of prodigal is that our boundaries are really for us now at this point. If our kids are over 18 to 22, it's how do we keep peace in our home? How do we model being a Christian parent well, or a Christian spouse well, or a Christian son or daughter well? How do we model that well? We're responsible to them, not for them. The boundaries are for us. Our plan is for us because our plan can't control our kids. God takes care of all the discipline. So an important slide. And so how do we choose what we can do? Behaviors have consequences. So all of the boundaries and consequences, not all of it, but most of this talk hinges parenting, disciplining, relationships, setting what's under our control, is Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When we stand between the law of reaping and sowing and reaping, we're getting in the way of God, and we're interrupting, and we're destroying that feedback loop that doing bad causes problems, doing good is to be commended. And and we learn all of our behaviors and primarily by reaping what we sow. And we learn from that. So what can we, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But three verses later, it says, for each one should carry his own load. And it can be confusing until you realize that baros is a heavy, crushing load that needs help. It's an overwhelming burden. It might be like if many of you knew D. Eliot, who just passed away, and we had a funeral for him this week. It was a friend of mine, went to Africa with him, fantastic guy, got ALS, and in the end, it was a crushing load, and community groups outside of his own community group helped financially and physically and those kind of things. It was an overwhelming burden, and those are the kind of things that we should do with baros. But the fortion, the load in 6:5 is like a backpack. They can carry that, and what I would tell you is that we underestimate dramatically how much our prodigals can carry in their backpack. And one of those things that I would tell you about me is when my son was at a halfway house after he'd gotten out of wilderness up in Montana, he'd been there for about 6 weeks and he hadn't gotten, I think he had one day off on Friday from 6 to 10, and that was it. And so if he got a job, he would have more liberal nights where he could have off and more free time and things like that. And so they set him to go get a job. And there's one of these outlet malls there. I mean, just one of these huge outlet malls there. And this was a time when the economy was okay, And so he went out to get a job, couldn't find a job, complained to us he couldn't find a job. And I was just going, God, the kid just can't buy a break. And tough, it's just poor Hunter and he just can't buy a break. So what happened is, what I would have done is I would have called the local person there, find somebody I know, and say, hey, my son's he's had a tough road, and what I would like to do is just, if you can give him a job, I'll actually fund it, but let's get him a job, make him feel good about himself. Da, da, da. I mean, I'm just controlling the whole issue, right? So what they did is they took away his Friday night, the 4 hours that he had. And the next day, he got a job at Burger King. It wasn't he couldn't get a job. They just didn't have the CEO position he was looking for. And so it actually taught me a very good lesson. It gave me a story I could tell you guys that everybody would agree with. But it actually taught me a lesson that he can do more than I think he can do. And I can tell you that there's kids that you guys have that parents or whatever that I know they may have ADD, bipolar, learning differences. I spoke to a mom that had some, a few weeks ago that broke my heart, that have some serious issues. But I don't know an issue that makes better by chaos, by a lack of discipline. I just don't know. I don't know what that is that would make that better. And so it's amazing what I've seen. And I think if you ask your leaders tonight, over the times we've been together, I think they can do a whole lot more than we think. acknowledging we all have challenges, and we don't want to underestimate their challenges, but just keep that in mind. And so as we go forward, so enabling, honestly, is just poor or absent boundaries and consequences. That's just what enabling is. And so we interfere with the law of reaping and sowing. And when we reach in and rescue them and we feel like we're saving them, we're enabling them, just like I wanted to do when getting him a job. So it just perpetuates the chaos. It doesn't teach responsible behavior. It tells them, I don't think you're capable of doing it. And I think I missed that for a number of years. It tells them that, hey, if I reach in and do this, I got to do it because I just don't think you've got what it takes to do it. And they hear that. And it's just shows a lack of trust in God. And so what's under our control, we can control our choices. We can control our values. Those are things that we can control. So how do we control our choices? Saying they made me do it, or I had to. You don't understand. This was the same. Nobody makes you do anything. You have a choice to do what you have that choice. So when you hear yourself saying, I had to do that, or they made me do it, or I was in a corner, no one makes you do anything. So we have a choice to do the right thing, and we've got to live with the consequences of those choices. And just make sure your choices line up with biblical choices. What I would say when you're in a corner like that, it's an important point. Your kids want and your prodigals want, whether that be parents, kids, siblings, whatever, they want to make you make quick decisions. They want to get you in a corner, get you separated, split you, and make you make quick choices. Stop. Say, I owe you a better answer than that. I've made bad choices in the past. I don't have to do anything. I'm going to go talk to my wise counsel, and because I love you and you need a better answer than the one I gave you before, let me go check this out. Don't let them force you to do anything quickly. So you have your control of your choices. You're in control of your values. The reason we want you to do a purpose or a mission statement is if you want to be the richest guy in town, that's a tough one here in Dallas, but if you want to do that, then your mission statement and the way you handle your kids are going to look different than if you want to glorify God. So you can choose your values. You can choose what your life looks like at the end of the day, how you want to parent, how you want to lead, how you want a husband, how you want a wife, how you want to be a brother, a sister. And so you can choose your values. And if you value anything other than God as your ultimate, your boundaries are going to reflect that. So you can control your choices and your values. What you can't control is the action of others. That's what you can't control. And so many times our boundaries and consequences are trying to control others. And it's one of the most popular boundary setting is trying to put limits on others and dictate their behavior. Let me just tell you, that will drive you crazy. It's impossible, and it'll wear you out, and it'll be self-defeating. We can only control our behavior. And we can control our reaction to and our exposure to people who are behaving poorly. We can control our actions, but we control choices and values. We can't control the actions of others. And when we control our model on these setting limits, I would just quote Cloud and Townsend in their book. Our model is God. He does not really, think about this, he doesn't really set limits on people to make them do anything. He doesn't make you do anything. He sets this. You think he chased the woman at the well? He didn't. He just said, go and sin no more. I know what you've been doing. It's going to go well with you. I'm the water of life. I mean, I'm the spring. I'm the water you're looking for. I'd like to be more like that, right? I want to plead. And when she's leaving, I'm going, I'm not kidding. In fact, I'm going to come in with you. I'm going to make sure you do it, right? That's who I am. But he doesn't set limits. People to make them behave. He sets standards, but he lets people be who they are, and then he separates himself from them when they misbehave, saying, in effect, you can be that way if you choose, but you can't come into my house. Heaven's a place for the repentant, and all are welcome. That's a wonderful quote to remember. So he also models that he's distinct, separate, and responsible for himself. The Trinity's distinct. They have their own boundary, their own responsibilities. I'm not sure I'll fully explain the Trinity this side of heaven, but I know that's how it works. They're distinct, they're separate. but they're God. And they communicate. God, he does communicate well, right? It's not that we don't know what he wants when we sin. It's not, he's made it really crystal clear. He knows what, he lets us know what we like and what we dislike. As parents, that's what we should do. He says what he'll allow and what he won't allow. That's loving. It's unloving to not be clear, to not have clarity of purpose. So it's loving to be clear to your kids, to be kid to your parents, what to expect from them as they continue their drinking or alcoholism or whatever whoever your prodigal is. And he always communicates what he thinks and what his heart is. And he confronts sin and allows consequences for our benefit. Okay, so again, Hebrews 12:8, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline or lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship is discipline. God's treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his earthly father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. What would be worse than discipline? To just not have him around. Just to not have him involved in your life. I mean, I was telling the leaders when I went over to Europe, you talk about a dead place. You talk about a hopeless place. They're not mad at God. They just don't, he's just not on their radar. It's not even on their radar, God's not. It's like, oh, the God thing, I haven't thought about that in a while. I mean, it's crazy, it's worse. So withdrawing is worse than that. So you're loving your kids by trying to set boundaries. And so how do we set them? We say no. It's the most powerful, purpose, loving thing we do. And staying no. The only way you can stay no is know the word of God. You got to, I mean, why are you all here? Why we got a packed house tonight? Community, it reminds you what the truth is. It reminds you to stay in the word. I mean, if you think it's easy for me, we've had interactions with my son recently that have made me want to do all kinds of things and fall back into that because I still love him as much. I mean, we don't ever get over that. Man, I need community. I need Jenny reminding me. I need my community reminding me. We all need it. We're never past it. When we think we're there, when we get in isolation, all of us could some. So staying truthful is staying in community and prayerfully asking God to help you and open your eyes. So the benefits of this is that, think about it, if we set our boundaries, then we're only responsible for this. We don't have to get sidetracked with the stuff outside of that. So we can run the race that Ephesians 2:10 tells us we have. And Hebrews 12:3 says we've got a race marked out for us. If we get distracted from that with doing things we don't need to do, it's awesome for Satan. He's got us tied up with things that are unimportant. So if we set boundaries, we can do what God wants us to do. We don't waste time. And in parenting, boundaries allow our children to learn responsibility and maturity early in life. And by doing that, we let God take care of it. And we tell him, not through words, but through actions, I love you. I trust you. I glorify you. I believe in you. I'm going to let you have this. I can't control it, and I'm gonna stand by your principles. So I love this. You're free to make your own choices, but you're not free to choose your own consequences. In youth is the time to do it, not later in life. And I got a story to end on that in a second. But so unenforced consequences leads to enabling, and that's the primary reason boundary settings fails, is because we don't enforce consequences. I had a plan that I was going to take away the truck, and that boundary was worthless because I didn't enforce the consequence. I might as well not even had a boundary. It actually was counterproductive. And so 29:19, a servant can't be corrected by mere words, although they understand they will not respond. When we sit with a plan, we sit down with people, talk about a plan, say, why should you do this? Why? Because you know what? He has been so good lately. What has he done? He has promised that he's never going to do that again. He said he loved me last night. He never tells me he loves me. Oh, well then, perfect, man. The car is the obvious choice to buy, right? So a servant can't be corrected by mere words. They understand, although they understand, they will not respond. A boundary is only as strong as the consequence given when they're broken. So you got to enforce them. And you can't enforce consequences because of why? The most common cause is fear. It's fear that God's not who he said he is. He doesn't love my prodigal. And the only reason you would have fear is that you don't know God. And so every 20 weeks, what are we preaching here? Know God. get in your word, know him. If at D. Eliot's funeral this week, he said, you know, if you don't know God, read your Bible. He made it pretty simple. And so it's misunderstood theology because God is good. He loves you. Your Bible tells you that. Your community encourages you about that. And the more you know him, that's what we're trying to do here, is just to remind you. That's why everything we do and everything we teach is not our idea. It's Jesus' idea. And so so it's either uninformed theology or really a lack of a clearly defined purpose based on truth. I mean, you're just taking life and parenting as it comes, and you don't have a proactive plan, all of which can be solved if you keep showing up in prodigal, being honest, working through your deal. These are things that are going to be worked out as we continue to study God's word together and to be reminded of the truth in our community. So how can we measure success as we close? What does it look like? A successful boundary is often measured mistakenly. You think it's if your child does well, if your prodigal does well, if your husband comes back home, if he stops cheating, stops drinking, if there's stop infidelity, if all the things work out. And we pray for that. It would be awesome. But I can tell you the leaders here, it's a mixed bag of whether our prodigals have come home. But I will tell you, the leaders here, do not let their outcomes impact their joy. They're running the race. They know God's good. And if you're not there, no problem. None of us got there in a day. It takes years, it takes months, it takes whatever. But a successful boundary is greater peace, decreased chaos, improved relationships, and God is glorified. That's a successful boundary. If we're trying to do his work for him, we'll fail. If we're wishing for him to do our work for us, he will refuse. But if we do our work, God does his work, we'll find strength in a real relationship with our Creator. And I would just tell you that if I speak to men's groups sometimes and individuals and dads and whatever, I always like to tell them and remind them the story most people can associate with that time you ground your kid when they're 5, 6 years old and only to find out that their best friend's birthday party is a Saturday night. You've grounded them for a week. So then what you do is you ground them for the whole week except for 3 hours between Saturday from 7 to 10. And then when your son's a star on the basketball team, then you save them and do their Latin homework for them. So for the good of the team, obviously, right? It's for the good of the team. And you do that. What you don't want to do is, I tell the parents I'm talking to, don't do that. I mean, I wish I could go back and change the birthday party, have them fail Latin. Because the first time, what you don't want is to do it like I did it when his life was on the line and he was 25 years old. And that's not the time to do it. And so these little things make a difference early on, and boundaries and consequences are important. It's the most loving thing you can do. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word and how it teaches us everywhere we are. When we're struggling, it even teaches about setting boundaries and consequences and how to parent and what to do with our prodigals and how to define love and how that looks like truth and grace. And so I just pray that you would bless the groups tonight. I thank you that we're back safely and we're home. This is our home. And I pray that you would bless every person here and give them hope in the midst of their chaos. In Christ's name we pray, amen.